Chapter 32. How Oliver passed his time in the improving society of his reputable friends. About noon next day, when the Dodger and Master Bates had gone out to pursue their customary avocations, Mr. Fagin took the opportunity of reading Oliver a long lecture on the crying sin of ingratitude, of which he clearly demonstrated he had been guilty, to no ordinary extent, in willfully absenting himself from the society of his anxious friends, and, still more, in endeavoring to escape from them after so much trouble and expense had been incurred in his recovery. Mr. Fagin laid great stress on the fact of his having taken Oliver in, and cherished him, when, without his timely aid, he might have perished with hunger. And he related the dismal and affecting history of a young lad whom, in his philanthropy, he had succored under parallel circumstances, but who, proving unworthy of his confidence and evincing a desire to communicate with the police, had unfortunately come to be hanged at the Old Bailey one morning. Mr. Fagin did not seek to conceal his share in the catastrophe, but lamented with tears in his eyes that the wrong-headed and treacherous behavior of the young person in question had rendered it necessary that he should become the victim of certain evidence for the Crown, which, if it were not precisely true, was indispensably necessary for the safety of him, Mr. Fagin, and a few select friends. Mr. Fagin concluded by drawing a rather disagreeable picture of the discomforts of hanging, and, with great friendliness and politeness of manner, expressed his anxious hopes that he might never be obliged to submit Oliver Twist to that unpleasant operation. Little Oliver's blood ran cold as he listened to the Jew's words, and imperfectly comprehended the dark threats conveyed in them. That it was possible even for justice itself to confound the innocent with the guilty when they were in accidental companionship, he knew already, and that deeply laid plans for the destruction of inconveniently knowing or over-communicative persons had been really devised and carried out by the Jew on more occasions than one, he thought by no means unlikely, when he recollected the general nature of the altercations between that gentleman and Mr. Sykes, which seemed to bear reference to some foregone conspiracy of the kind. As he glanced timidly up, and met the Jew's searching look, he felt that his pale face and trembling limbs were neither unnoticed, nor unrelished by that wary old gentleman. The Jew, smiling hideously, patted Oliver on the head, and said, that if he kept himself quiet, and applied himself to business, he saw they would be very good friends yet. Then, taking his hat, and covering himself with an old patched greatcoat, he went out, and locked the room door behind him. And so Oliver remained all that day, and for the greater part of many subsequent days, seeing nobody, between early morning and midnight, and left during the long hours, to commune with his own thoughts, which, never failing to revert to his kind friends, and the opinion they must long ago have formed of him, were sad indeed. After the lapse of a week or so, the Jew left the room door unlocked, and he was at liberty to wander about the house. It was a very dirty place. The rooms upstairs had great high wooden chimney pieces and large doors, with paneled walls and cornices to the ceiling, which, although they were black with neglect and dust, were ornamented in various ways. From all of these tokens Oliver concluded that a long time ago, before the old Jew was born, it had belonged to better people, and had perhaps been quite gay and handsome. Dismal and dreary as it looked now, spiders had built their webs in the angles of the walls and ceilings. And sometimes, when Oliver walked softly into a room, the mice would scamper across the floor, and run back terrified to their holes. With these exceptions, there was neither sight nor sound of any living thing, and often, when it grew dark, and he was tired of wandering from room to room, he would crouch in the corner of the passage by the street door, to be as near living people as he could, and would remain there, listening and counting the hours, until the Jew or the boys returned. In all the rooms, the moldering shutters were fast closed. The bars which held them were screwed tight into the wood. the only light which was admitted, stealing its way through round holes at the top, which made the rooms more gloomy, and filled them with strange shadows. There was a back garret window with rusty bars outside, which had no shutter, and out of this, Oliver often gazed with a melancholy face for hours together. But nothing was to be descried from it, but a confused and crowded mass of housetops, blackened chimneys, and gable ends. Sometimes, indeed, a grisly head might be seen, peering over the parapet wall of a distant house, but it was quickly withdrawn again, and as the window of Oliver's observatory was nailed down, undimmed with the rain and smoke of years, it was as much as he could do to make out the forms of the different objects beyond, without making any attempt to be seen or heard, which he had as much chance of being as if he had lived inside the ball of St. Paul's Cathedral. One afternoon, the Dodger and Master Bates being engaged out that evening, the first-named young gentleman took it into his head, to evince some anxiety regarding the decoration of his person, to do him justice. This was by no means an habitual weakness with him, and, with this end and aim, he condescendingly commanded Oliver to assist him in his toilet, straightway. Oliver was but too glad to make himself useful, too happy to have some faces, however bad, to look upon, too desirous to conciliate those about him, when he could honestly do so, to throw any objection in the way of this proposal. So he at once expressed his readiness, and, kneeling on the floor, while the Dodger sat upon the table, so that he could take his foot in his laps, he applied himself to a process which Mr. Dawkins designated as japanning his trotter cases. Apostrophe the phrase, rendered into plain English, signifieth, cleaning his boots. Whether it was the sense of freedom and independence which a rational animal may be supposed to feel when he sits on a table in an easy attitude smoking a pipe, swinging one leg carelessly to and fro, and having his boots cleaned all the time, without even the past trouble of having taken them off, or the prospective misery of putting them on, to disturb his reflections, or whether it was the goodness of the tobacco that soothed the feelings of the Dodger, or the mildness of the beer that mollified his thoughts, he was evidently tinctured, for the nonce, with a spice of romance and enthusiasm, foreign to his general nature. He looked down on Oliver, with a thoughtful countenance, for a brief space, and then, raising his head, and heaving a gentle sign, said, half in abstraction, and half to Master Bates, "What a pity it is he isn't a prig." Apostrophe apostrophe ah. Apostrophe apostrophe said Master Charles Bates. "He don't know what's good for him." Apostrophe the Dodger sighed again, and resumed his pipe, as did Charlie Bates. They both smoked, for some seconds, in silence. "I suppose you don't even know what a prig is?" Apostrophe apostrophe said the Dodger mournfully. "I think I know that," apostrophe replied Oliver, looking up. "It's a the, you're one, are you not?" Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Oliver, checking himself. "I am," apostrophe replied the Dodger. "I'd scorn to be anything else." Apostrophe Mr. Dawkins gave his hat a ferocious cock, after delivering this sentiment, and looked at Master Bates, as if to denote that he would feel obliged by his saying anything to the contrary. "I am," apostrophe repeated the Dodger. "So's Charlie. So's Fagin. So's Sykes. So's Nancy. So's Bet. So we all are, down to the dog. And he's the downiest one of the lot. Apostrophe apostrophe, and the least given to peaching," apostrophe added Charlie Bates. "He wouldn't so much as bark in a witness box, for fear of committing himself. No, not if you tied him up in one, and left him there without wittles for a fortnight," apostrophe said the Dodger. "Not a bit of it," apostrophe observed Charlie. "He's a rum dog. Don't he look fierce at any strange cove that laughs or sings when he's in company?" Apostrophe apostrophe pursued the Dodger. "Won't he growl at all when he hears a fiddle playing? And don't he hate other dogs as ain't of his breed?" "Oh, no." Apostrophe, "he's an out-and-out Christian," apostrophe said Charlie. This was merely intended as a tribute to the animal's abilities, but it was an appropriate remark in another sense, if Master Bates had only known it. For there are a good many ladies and gentlemen, claiming to be out-and-out Christians, between whom, and Mr. Sykes' dog, there exist strong and singular points of resemblance. Well, well, apostrophe said the Dodger, recurring to the point from which they had strayed. With that mindfulness of his profession which influenced all his proceedings. This hasn't got anything to do with young Green here. Apostrophe, no more it has, apostrophe said Charlie. Why don't you put yourself under Fagin, Oliver? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and make your fortune out of hand? Apostrophe, apostrophe, added the Dodger, with a grin. And so be able to retire on your property, and do the genteel. As I mean to, in the very next leap year, before that ever comes, and the 42nd Tuesday in Trinity Week, apostrophe said Charlie Bates. I don't like it, apostrophe rejoined Oliver, timidly. I wish they would let me go. I would rather go. Apostrophe, and Fagin would rather not. Apostrophe, apostrophe rejoined Charlie. Oliver knew this too well, but thinking it might be dangerous to express his feelings more openly, he only sighed, and went on with his boot cleaning. Go! Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed the Dodger. Why, where's your spirit? Apostrophe, don't you take any pride out of yourself? Would you go, and be dependent on your friends? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, blow that! Apostrophe, apostrophe said Master Bates, drawing two or three silk handkerchiefs from his pocket, and tossing them into a cupboard. That's too mean, that is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I couldn't do it, apostrophe said the Dodger, with an air of haughty disgust. You can leave your friends, though, apostrophe said Oliver with a half smile, and let them be punished for what you did. Apostrophe, that, apostrophe rejoined the Dodger, with a wave of his pipe, that was all out of consideration for Fagin, cause the traps know that we work together, and he might have got into trouble, if we hadn't made our lucky. That was the move, wasn't it, Charlie? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Master Bates nodded assent, and would have spoken, but the recollection of Oliver's flight came so suddenly upon him, that the smoke he was inhaling got entangled with a laugh, and went up into his head, and down into his throat, and brought on a fit of coughing and stamping, about 5 minutes long. Look here. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the Dodger, drawing forth a handful of shillings and halfpence. Here's a jolly life. What's the odds where it comes from? Here, catch hold, there's plenty more where they were took from. You won't you? Oh, you precious flat. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's naughty, ain't it, Oliver? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Charlie Bates. He'll come to be scragged, won't he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know what that means, apostrophe replied Oliver. Something in this way, old feller, apostrophe said Charlie. As he said it, Master Bates caught up an end of his neckerchief, and, holding it erect in the air, dropped his head on his shoulder, and jerked a curious sound through his teeth, thereby indicating, by a lively pantomimic representation, that scragging and hanging were one, and the same thing. That's what it means, apostrophe said Charlie. Look how he stares, Jack. I never did see such prime company as that ear boy. He'll be the death of me, I know he will. Apostrophe Master Charlie Bates, having laughed heartily again, resumed his pipe with tears in his eyes. You've been brought up bad, apostrophe said the Dodger, surveying his boots with much satisfaction, when Oliver had polished them. Fagin will make something of you, though, or you'll be the first he ever had that turned out unprofitable. You'd better begin at once, for you'll come to the trade long before you think of it, and you're only losing time, Oliver. Apostrophe, Master Bates backed this advice with sundry moral admonitions of his own, which, being exhausted, he and his friend Mr. Dawkins launched into a glowing description of the numerous pleasures incidental to the life they led, interspersed with a variety of hints to Oliver that the best thing he could do would be to secure Fagin's favor without more delay by the means which they themselves had employed to gain it. "And always put this in your pipe, Noli," apostrophe said the Dodger, as the Jew was heard unlocking the door above. "If you don't take Fagels and Tickers apostrophe, what's the good of talking in that way?" " interposed Master Bates. "He don't know what you mean." " "If you don't take pocket handkerchers and watches," " said the Dodger, reducing his conversation to the level of Oliver's capacity, "some other cove will, so that the coves that lose 'em will be all the worse, and you'll be all the worse too, and nobody half a ha'porth the better, except the chaps what gets them, and you've just as good a right to them as they have." " "To be sure, to be sure." " said the Jew, who had entered unseen by Oliver. "It all lies in a nutshell, my dear. In a nutshell, take the Dodger's word for it. Ha! 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 He understands the catechism of his trade." " The old man rubbed his hands gleefully together, as he corroborated the Dodger's reasoning in these terms, and chuckled with delight at his pupil's proficiency. The conversation proceeded no farther at this time, for the Jew had returned home accompanied by Miss Betsy, and a gentleman whom Oliver had never seen before, but who was accosted by the Dodger as Tom Scheidling, and who, having lingered on the stairs, to exchange a few gallantries with the lady, now made his appearance. Mr. Scheidling was older in years than the Dodger, having perhaps numbered 18 winters, but there was a degree of deference in his deportment towards that young gentleman which seemed to indicate that he felt himself conscious of a slight inferiority in point of genius and professional acquirements. He had small Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.